you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey, what is up, my fellow addicts? It is Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. I would say this, nighttime host legend, Craig Kilborn. You may remember him from The Daily Show, The Craig Kilborn, Late Late Show. Just a super cool dude in a couple of great movies as well. Comes on the show this week. We do the show every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, streaming live at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Then available immediately after at Gas Digital in HD, commercial-free. Or you wait 5 days, you get it with commercials like you are doing right now, and that's fine too. If you use the code SDR, you can go to GasDigitalNetwork.com and get a 7-day free trial, access to every episode we ever did, not just the newest 20, all commercial-free, all in HD, live chat, and about 20-something other shows, 35 hours of entertainment every week, all available at GasDigitalNetwork.com. New website coming soon, new app, new OTT, all on the way. It's going to be a big year for the Gas Digital Network. But here it is right now, the Craig Kilborn episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I'm beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Rare that this is happening, but it's happening once again. It is a solo episode. Well, not really solo. Shannon is there looking lovely in, I don't know what color that is. Is it salmon? Not really. What color is that, Shannon?
It's more of like a deep coral, but the camera is picking it up weirdly.
Okay, but it is pretty. It makes you look almost attractive, which is nice.
I think that's nice.
It's rare for me to say that about Shannon. So this is interesting because this is a man who I've very much was a fan of for most of my life in the world of what we call broadcasting. Because you do and did at the highest level something that I try to achieve to do on a weekly basis, which is hosting. He's sometimes known as Lord Kilby himself. He's at Mr. Craig Kilborn, just the MR on the Instagrams. He has a podcast that is got a kind of unique name. It is the Craig Kilborn Podcast Space, The Life Gorgeous, which we'll get into that as well. And it is Mr. Craig Kilborn. How are you, sir?
Thank you for having me. Thank you for, you just mentioned the color salmon.
Yes.
And as I always say that former late night host can name drop, I was at Mastro's in Beverly Hills and I saw my friend Dennis Farina, the old actor who sadly passed away a little early. He was in Get Shorty and all those movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up to him. We used to go out there and he was always nice to me and we'd grab a bite. And I said, he was wearing a golf sweater. I said, is that peach? Salmon, Kilby. Salmon.
I think salmon is a classy way of saying peach, really.
Exactly.
Yeah, it makes it seem less effeminate, I guess, maybe.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
So, I mean, the interesting thing, we'll get into this. You had a very wild career starting. I mean, at least when we've all first, most of us saw you as an anchor at ESPN. Started The Daily, The Late Late Show. He might remember you as Mark from Old School. Great as well. But what, just trying to jump into this right now, the most important thing I feel is we're both 6'5". So that's pretty rare. What size shoe were you?
I wear 13 in Nike, 12 in Prada.
I don't know my Prada size, excuse me, but I'm a 15. So that's a problem.
Ooh.
13, so anybody can buy.
Are you a step slow?
A step slow.
Because you have big feet. I mean, are you? I mean, going to the hoop. I'm talking. Are you a step slow?
By the way, this is where you and I will separate in paths. I don't give a shit about any sport.
Oh,
at all. Yeah, I never did. I firmly believe you get into sports because someone in your life, your father, your brother, somebody got you into sports. My dad didn't give a shit, so I don't give a shit.
Okay. My father wanted my brother and I to play baseball. His favorite player was Willie Mays.
I've heard of him.
Who I got to interview once.
Oh, that's cool.
I told Willie Mays, I got a little emotional. I went to the dressing room. I said, Willie, my dad said you were the greatest player of all time. Because Willie was kind of underrated. He was an all-round. He could run the bases. He could hit the home runs. He could field. He did a thing called the basket catch, which was stylish, where he just catch it with one hand. Mm-hmm. But anyways, he wanted us to play baseball. And in second grade, he put up a hoop on our driveway. And I just took to hoops. And I was obsessed with hoops. And it keeps, as my parents would say, it keeps you off the streets. So my childhood was comedy and basketball, but I have a friend named Mike Gibbons, Gibby, who is not into sports. So I know, mm-hmm. I know men that are like that. And I remember I was chatting once with Anderson Cooper and he's like, Craig, I don't know. I don't follow sports, you know?
Yeah.
So it's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Well, I feel man shamed for it quite often, you know, that it's like you kind of puss, but I think I heard that the only sport you really delved into was basketball, as far as like statistics and caring about the players and all that stuff was basketball. Is that correct?
I was obsessed with the NBA at an early age, and I know too much. I have too much information, too much. I know where all these guys went to college, and then I know the college nicknames, like Robert Parrish for the Celtics. He went to a school called Centenary down in Louisiana, and the nickname of Centenary is the Gentleman, which I find interesting name. And I do like the NFL. So it's the NBA and the NFL.
Okay. Shannon, could you be any less interested right now? I'm curious on your level of interest on a 1 to 10. Is it a 2?
I might be the only person who knows less about sports than you do, Ralph.
All right. Fair enough. So now at one point, Craig, you said you wanted to be the only man left in America without a podcast, mm-hmm. but that changed. I don't know what the catalyst was. Also, I noticed the last episode was over a month ago. December 15th was the last episode. So A, what was the actual catalyst? Say, okay, I'm going to do this now. And B, when are the episodes coming back?
Great question. So I was not jonesing to do a podcast because everyone had one. But in 2018, I joined Instagram,
right,
kind of for my nieces. And then the Instagram is really fun because it's creative, where I can just show a picture of myself with a martini and write a caption. And it's really easy. Like, my pores are really tight today, or my, you know, different. Oh, my eyes are sparkling, maybe too much. Lock, you know, watch out. But people, you know, I'm giving back. People wanted me to do a podcast. It doesn't mean a lot of people wanted me to do a podcast, but some people. So I'm just giving back. And the reason I didn't do it earlier was you had to have the guests, you know, in your house.
In studio,
if you're recording,
right,
at your house, your garage or your den, which I'm in right now. And then after COVID, it was split screen. And I said, I'll do it. So I'm giving back. And then what happened was I did one a month ago. And then for the holidays, I took down all my equipment. This is my mahogany panel den, my sacred area. It's where I watch old movies, and we can talk movies since like sports.
Part of it, yeah. We're getting into movies a little bit too. Yeah.
So I just put it up now, and I'm actually switching podcast companies and switching if I'm going to use, you know, Riverside or what I'm going to use. So I'm leisurely about it, but it's coming back, man, probably a couple weeks.
I mean, that's probably something that could be no more of a 180 from the days at the Late Late Show or the Daily. Where the Daily Show, where things had to happen, regardless if you wanted them to or not, you're going live. Now you can choose when to record and when to do it. It's got to be a very comforting feeling.
Very relaxing. Even just my life there's not a lot of stress in my life. And people were like, why'd you walk away? And I said, I just got bored with late night comedy. There's not a lot I want to do. I'm a little enigmatic. So there's not a whole lot of pressure on me. Sometimes when I go to a French restaurant, I feel pressure, order the right thing, don't screw this one up. That's about it. But it's a relaxing. I like to say the reason I still have blonde hair and it hasn't turned silver yet. Has it?
I can't tell from this angle.
There's no stress in my life right now.
Well, listen, let me ask you, you touched on it. There was this question, and I don't mean to be like a hard-hitting moron, but about whether you left the show, the Late Late Show, or you didn't get the raise you wanted. In my little research, I heard different answers. And then what I really noticed is, because this is this way on The Daily Show as well, you never really went politics. You never did that. And that's everywhere now. So maybe that was part of it too. So what was the actual catalyst? Was it just that, like you said, you just got bored?
Well, yeah, I guess bored is a little too cavalier, but it's true. But I lost interest in late night comedy. The shows were redundant. We had to do, I'm not interested in pop culture. We did a lot of pop culture jokes. I'm not interested in social commentary and political talk. I was raised not to talk politics. It does throw people off. I do publicly say, even though I don't talk politics, I say I'm a registered independent. That mm-hmm. throws people off. And you know, the number one reason is creatively, I lost interest because if I was still fired up, some of these guys want to do late night hosting as long as they can. Mm-hmm. And if I still was creatively, this is all I want to do, then you stay and you put up with any dysfunction or any of the silliness. Mm-hmm. The CBS Late Late Show, I've only said this once because it was my favorite show. It wasn't really set up for victory. It was set up more as a placeholder. One of my heroes owned it, Dave Letterman. He's battling Jay Leno at the time. They're not grooming a successor. Why the hell would they groom a successor? But the good news is I didn't want to move forward mm-hmm. into 11:30. There's more. It's more of a headache. You have to tackle some topics you don't want to, and you have to kind of tiptoe around the guests. So I accomplished it. I'm glad I did it. I did it 5 years, and I really don't, it's a favorite subject, but I don't celebrate it too much, but man, it was fun leaving. And that's why I'm different. It was so fun leaving. And the only thing I want to do is so narrow. It's something inscripted with my favorite sitcom was Frasier. So that's, you know, I kind of accept that that's not going to happen.
You know, what's interesting is that right now is a unique time because both of your former shows, The Daily Show and The Late Late Show, have lost their hosts or are looking for new hosts or are restructuring both shows that you were a part of. That's kind of a fascinating moment to have you on while that's happening.
I'm glad it's fascinating for you. I mean, no.
You don't care? No. Like, do you? You don't watch either show at all, I assume.
No. I'll see clips of like my friend Jimmy Kimmel sometimes, but I don't pay attention to late night. It'll be interesting to see if we talk about what we watch, because I do watch a lot of old movies and I love talking about old movies, but people don't really, you know, I have friends that don't want to see anything in black and white, and then there are television shows I watch. Mm-hmm. And I like to talk about that to see if there's ever an overlap on what people watch.
Meaning, so like right now, do you watch it? You stick to classics, or if there's a new show that people are talking about, you'll give it a try.
I'll give it a try. I'll just tell you some stuff I've watched. I do like the show, even though my favorite thing is, you know, Frasier was a white collar character. Alec Baldwin on 30 Rock was a white collar mm-hmm. character. But there was a mini series a few years ago called The Night Manager, and it was with Hugh Laurie and Tom Hiddleston. So I really like espionage, and I'm also a bit of an Anglophile, and those guys are British, and it was written by a British writer named John Le Carre, who does spy novels. So that was very good. You guys haven't heard of that, right?
I haven't heard of it. Was it made in America? Was it a BBC thing? I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it was BBC, and it ran on AMC, and now it's always on Amazon Prime. It's a 6-part series, and they had a lot of exotic locations. They had there were 6 episodes, $5 million budget each episode, wow. $30 million budget. Olivia Colman was in it, a lot of awards, but that was cool. But I was going to say, even though that's kind of my thing, I also like Bosch. I don't know if you've ever seen Bosch.
I started to watch Bosch. I did enjoy the first episode. I'm an idiot because I feel that my life, I have to focus so much that I like to not have to think too much when I'm watching TV shows or movies. I like stupid, right?
Okay.
A very good friend of yours who's done the show, Alex Sulkin,
yes.
Who's I have Family Guy on very often because it's just stupid funny and I don't have to think. Right. I like shit like that because most of my day is spent thinking. Does that make any sense?
No, you want to unwind. And it's interesting. I remember when I was working in late night, this always surprised people, I didn't watch Frasier until I retired. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch Seinfeld. My dad would talked to me, goes, you got to see Seinfeld. You got to see this. And I guess I would just unwind and watch a pro basketball game or something, or go out and eat and drink in moderation, and go to the King Cole Bar at the St. Regis on the east side, look at the mural. What's that?
It's interesting. Just like you touched on a little bit. You definitely, even the name of the podcast, The Life Gorgeous, right? You give this air of upper-classness or refinement. Is that a fair way to put it, I guess?
Aristocratic.
Yeah. Yes. I imagine your favorite drink is a martini, I would think. You know, that's just the, yeah. And just the air of to which you would probably prefer a foie gras over a In-N-Out burger is what I'm guessing, right? And I come from that. Food and drinking, I don't do much of the drinking part, but I do love high quality food. I went to cooking school for a year. I ran a French restaurant for 4 years.
Whoa.
So I care a lot about that. And I just posted this on my Instagram. I finally got into, it's rated the 5th best bar in the world. And I waited online like a jackass at 5 o'clock in the afternoon just to go in and try their award-winning cocktails and their little snacks. And I will do shit like that because that is my joy in life. I don't do drugs. I don't gamble. I don't give a fuck about sports. Food, drinks, and I guess we could say women are my passions. Sorry, Shannon.
That's interesting. What was it? First of all, what was the name of the bar?
It's got a stupid name. It's called The Back Room at Double Chicken Please. Double Chicken Please is like a fast food restaurant in the front, but in the back, it's about 15 seats, and they just won this big award as the 5th best cocktail bar in the world.
So a couple thoughts. I like talking about drinking. I admire people who are sober if they have to be. Great admiration for that. I drink in moderation. I can't drink like I used to. I'm proud to say I used to drink single malt scotch in my 30s. I don't. I just have red wine now and vodka martinis. Mm-hmm. And I say I have one martini a week. I like the romance and the ritual of making a martini. I like the martini glass. Mm-hmm. I'll have a twist, or I'll have three olives, and it's something I enjoy. My favorite thing is to put on a blazer and go hear piano music. My dad did take my brother and I in high school bar hopping to hear piano music back in Minnesota. I'm not musically inclined, but everyone in my family, my dad played piano by ear. My mom taught piano. They all sang. I was turned on to jazz at an early age. So there's nothing better than a Nick and Nora glass, which is a small little martini going to hear a piano player playing the standards. And then what I always do when I go into these places, they're playing the music, the Sinatra, the Tony Bennett. Bar. And I will go up and I'll say, play Careless Whisper. I want to see how people respond. and the guy plays it. It's so funny.
I can play it because you're asking. If I ask, they'll be saying, get the fuck out of here. But
exactly.
There's another bar I went to recently that do something really cool. They do a high-end martini. It's frozen. Like, it's not frozen like a frozen drink. It's just like super cold in a cold glass. But they serve it on a Coke mirror, right? And the dirty part of it looks like a line of Coke, but it's dehydrated frozen olives. And then you're supposed to put them in the drink or eat it off your hand and then take a drink, and it tastes like a dirty martini. It's a very cool little bar that just opened up. It's a little nonsense, but it is fun.
Yes.
I like the nonsense. I'm a fan of the pageantry of unique cocktails and unique food. That's my joy in life. I do that all the time. All right, before we go any further, I just have a simple phrase for you guys. It's $60 kilos, that unattainable number that no one in the world of Kratom was ever able to accomplish until Yo Kratom came along. For years, entrepreneurs, scientists, academics, they all tried to solve that $60 kilo problem, and it was figured out by YoKratom.com. Thanks to their sheer brilliance, you can get a kilo of Kratom for just 60 smackers. How did they solve that legendary $60 kilo problem? Or will anyone else ever solve it? Does it even fucking matter? Not really. Just go to YoKratom.com. Stock up on high-quality curated Kratom at wholesale prices. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Let's get back into it.
So you said French. I mean, French food, there are a couple out here. They use a lot of puff pastries. They'll put the puff pastry in. They'll put the escargot in the puff pastry. They'll put a sea bass and they'll put puff pastry on it, which I just love. I try not to eat carbs, but when I'm in a French restaurant, and then they go berserk over the butter and the bread, you know, the butter, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's rich food. I like Italian food. And I cook a little bit. And the one dish that I've only cooked four times and it's turned out well every time is cioppino. Are you familiar with
it? I do. Yeah, that is a seafood soup, a tomato-based seafood soup. Yep. It is very good. I know also your favorite restaurant apparently is Pacific Edge. Am I right about that?
One of my favorites. It's,
well, how about me doing my fucking research, Shannon?
Yeah,
God damn it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't know. I may have said that. I mean, it is... my favorite place in the world is Carmel by the Sea. It's up in the Central Coast. It's 2.5 hours south of San Francisco, 5.5 north of L.A., and it's near Pebble Beach. I live there, and Pacific's Edge is down in Carmel Highlands. Mm-hmm. Carmel Highlands, if you ever saw the movie Basic Instinct with Sharon Stone, her house on the water was there down in Carmel Highlands. So Pacific's Edge is a part of the Hyatt Regency Hotel there, and it's all glass overlooking the coastline, and it's a nice restaurant.
I don't go to California as much anymore. The fucking flight is too long. I'd rather go to Europe if I'm going to take a 6-hour flight or 7-hour flight. That's me.
Yeah.
But you touch on movies, so we'll bring this into the thing that got me thinking about your podcast.
Yes, sir.
You ask people their 5 favorite movies of all time, right? That's a thing that's an ongoing tradition so far. And I imagine that's going to be part of it when you kick off, whenever you start doing your podcast again. It's a douchebag way of saying I don't like favorites, but I often say I'm not a superlatives guy. And that's just who I am with color, with band, with food. It's an ever-changing flow of whatever I'm in the mood for right now. But thinking and trying to quantify top 5 movies is not easy for me. I asked Shannon to do it as well. There's some that I feel should not even be included in the list, because they're on the considered like the best movies of all time, like The Godfather or Goodfellas. Like, you don't even need to add. They just come on. Like, we don't need to do that or put that on the side. It's not, it shouldn't be part of a list, in my opinion. Right. The one that I say right away, I got to put on my list is Young Frankenstein.
Okay.
Love the movie.
Yeah.
Love Mel Brooks. I could probably put 2 or 3 other of his movies on. Love Young Frankenstein. Right. Then I would put, which probably is a douchebag one to put on, is Shawshank Redemption.
A lot of people say that.
And it's with both of these movies, and the third I'm going to put in, which is Something About Mary. These are movies that I can watch. If it's on TV and I see it, I'll sit and watch a little bit of it.
Right,
it just is what it is. Shannon, before I do any others, give me hear your 5. I'm curious.
So I am currently at 4 right now. I've been thinking about this all day, and I feel like you're all going to hate all of, because they're all like rom-com, like girly movies. But I also chose them based on movies that I've watched over and over and over again. They're kind of just like comfort movies. Kind
I
of like
guess one.
Okay.
Serendipity. I'm going to guess one too.
Serendipity is one.
Okay.
Love Actually.
Oh, that'll be my 5th one. Yes. I love that movie.
That's my 5th. So let's hear
but it's it. Also, I also, by the way, will watch Frasier over and over and over again. Yeah, that is I one of Frasier. My favorite sitcoms. So I have 50 First Dates.
Okay. Cute. Good movie. When we had, what's his name on with the show? We got to talk about
Rob
that
Schneider.
Scene. Rob Schneider on. That was fun. Yeah. Okay.
This one you're both going to hate. I'm positive of it. The Wedding Date, which is with Deborah Messing. And
even heard of that movie. Forget about
seeing
that
movie. Either.
It's basically she's single. She's going to her sister's wedding in England. And so she basically hires an escort to pretend he's her date. And then, of course, they fall in love and live happily ever after. But it's really cute. Serendipity. And then Walking Tall, the one with The Rock.
Oh, well, because you love The Rock. She loves The Rock.
But I chose that one, though, because I like the I just like him specifically in that one.
The only other 2 I was going to add, which you might hate both of these, Craig, and then we'll go through yours. I think Princess Bride is just an enjoyable film.
I've heard people say that.
Then I just think something about it, just it's so purely, I saw it in the theaters because I'm old and I just fucking loved it.
Right.
And that's another one that I can watch and enjoy. And then the last one I would put on just because I get excited every time it's on and I love listening to the lore of it is Rocky.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because there's so much. Like, I just saw yesterday on my TikTok, someone put up like behind the scenes video of Carl Weathers and Sylvester Stallone training to fight. And I was fascinated by watching that. I don't think I would give a shit seeing behind the scenes of Serendipity. Wouldn't do anything for me.
Right. You know, you said a number of things that make sense where you say, you know, you can't do the list. I used to do this list and my father said, well, you're controlling the situation, but I would do it at dinner with people and then everyone would go around the table. But I would always preface it and say, listen, I know it's hard to do five. Just do five now. You can change it in 5 minutes because you know, it's hard to do. I just want to see if there's an overlap. You also make a good point when you say, okay, is everyone going to name The Godfather? Right. And not everybody does, even though they like it. But if it is their favorite movie, they will say it. So I have on my top five, I do have some top 20 AFI movies. It's not The Godfather, but they're movies. And they're movies that I like. I just happen to like them a lot, and they happen to be in the top 20. Mm-hmm. I also say you can have a guilty pleasure in there, which is, I know this is not a top five movie, but I like The Bad News Bears. I have a friend who puts the Bad News Bears on there. So you can do whatever you want with the list, which you guys clearly have done. But I don't want to, I feel bad about my list. I don't feel bad about it, but I just happen to like Alfred Hitchcock and old movies. So I have North by Northwest on there.
Right.
The ones that are, I have The Graduate. I always have The Graduate, and I think it's 14th on AFI. It might even be higher than that. And I have Sunset Boulevard, which is, I just, not everyone has that on their list, but that's a great one. That's when Norman Desmond, you know, I'm ready for my close-up and all this.
Yeah.
What else did I, I'm trying to remember what I have. I have, I do a Hitchcock. Oh, Chinatown. It's a film noir from this. I like film noir, but it's from the 70s. And that's with Nicholson, directed by Roman Polanski. That's really
good.
Isn't
that the butter scene is in that movie? Is that my right?
You're talking butter? That's Last Tango in Paris.
Last Tango in Paris. Sorry.
But the one I put on there now, which is not really in a top five, but it's from 2004, but I just like it so much, is Sideways. You guys ever seen Sideways?
Sideways is great. And also what I didn't know until recently is that the fucking Merlot line was ad-libbed. I didn't know that.
I know.
That's crazy because he single-handedly derailed an industry.
Unreal. Yeah.
It's really wild. It's really wild. It is cool.
The other thing that's weird is you guys mentioned movies and it's offensive. If I say I've never seen Princess Bride, people will be bothered. Like I've never seen an episode of Friends. And some people are like, what?
Shannon's favorite show, maybe top three favorite show.
Yeah. But at least she likes Frasier as well. But so some of the movies I haven't seen.
She's not a complete idiot. That's what you're saying.
So
you never saw Princess Bride. You never saw Princess Bride.
I don't. That's with Billy Crystal, right?
Yeah.
I never saw it.
Fair enough. There's a couple of like classic movies that I never saw. Like I don't think I saw Godfather 2. I've seen Godfather. I've not seen Godfather 2 or 3. Yeah, for sure. So I don't give a shit when people haven't seen it. I hate when I tell people I've never seen an episode of Game of Thrones. Their response is always, "You've never seen it." I was like, "Yeah, I just said that. Shut the fuck up." Like it's so annoying.
I've never seen Game of Thrones. And when this particular show was on, which everyone thinks is the greatest TV show ever, I didn't watch it. And now I'm on season 5 of The Sopranos.
Oh, okay. We had Michael Imperioli on the show a couple years ago. And my opening line to him was, I have to tell you before we start this, I've never seen a single episode of The Sopranos. And he said, you check it out. People seem to like it, which I thought was a good response.
Yeah.
It's a nice, he's a cool
dude. Interviewed him, but I didn't have the guts to say I've never seen Sopranos, but I interviewed him. He was great.
Yeah, he's great. So that, by the way, that leads me to a couple of interesting questions. I have to ask. I mean, you are in your tenure of the Late Late Show, the Daily Show, are there interviews that stick out as your favorite and least favorite that are like come to mind immediately? Like, well, that was a fucking abortion, or that was, I thought was going to be terrible and ended up being great. Anything like that that jumps out at you?
Yeah, there are a whole bunch. I mean, you know, there was one where it was Anna Nicole Smith, and I don't know if she was on anything, but she wasn't really answering the question. She just kind of breathed when I asked her a question. And I looked at the audience and I said, I'm working hard over here. What's going on? And they all laughed, but she didn't answer any questions. She was just kind of like out of it. There was a guy named Robbie Knievel, Evel Knievel's
son.
Yeah. And he was hammered and he came out and he ran and jumped on my desk and knocked everything over. And then he sat down and I interviewed him, and that was, you know, that was okay. I got to interview Clint Eastwood because
that's great.
The woman, well, I used to work in Salinas, Monterey, Santa Cruz, the 110 market, but lived in Carmel. He was the mayor there in the 80s, and he lives there. And that's his favorite area. And the news anchor at a different station, I was a sports guy at a station, the news anchor was a friend of mine named Dina Ruiz. And I went to ESPN from Carmel, and Dina and I stayed in touch, and she says, I'm dating Clint Eastwood. And then she called me later. I'm marrying Clint Eastwood. So she was married for 19 years to Clint. She was 30. He was like 66 when they got married. And she got him on my show, on the CBS Late Late Show.
Wow.
And played five questions with him. Here's an Alex Sulkin special. And finally, Clint, number five, show us, I want you to squint because it's sunny, and then squint because you're angry. Let's see the difference in the squints. You know, mocking him for squinting, because he did a lot of squinting. You know what I'm saying?
Did he play ball with it?
Oh, God. Well, I gave him a heads up in the break, because I didn't want to throw him off. And he says, I get paid a lot of money to do that. I'm not going to do it here for free.
Yeah. That's funny. That's cool. Alex Sulkin was a writer on that show with you?
Oh, he was, yeah. Goldie Gibby, Alex Sulkin, those guys are great.
That's
brilliant.
Cool.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, he really is brilliant. He's a nice guy, too. What did you think of, because you narrated your own intro.
Yeah.
When Stephen Colbert started, he did it for about six episodes and then bailed on the idea. You were the only one I ever knew that did that. Did it bother you that he did that, or you didn't even know he did that?
I didn't know until now that he did that, but that's fine. I like him. He's great.
And then also you created the moment of Zen. I think that's still going on The Daily Show.
I don't know if I did or not. I don't remember who did that. Someone told me I did that. I don't know if I did that. I did five questions was popular. They had Comedy Central had a five questions book. The Daily Show was, I had fun because I was hosting, but at the time it was very bizarre. And now 25 years later, it's even more Twilight Zone bizarre, because the network president and the executive producer, they still don't know that they set the show up the wrong way. And it's just weird, because I just played ball. I let the executive producer run the show. I acquiesced. And I was like, this is not right, but maybe it'll work itself out. And then I went to CBS, and the executive producer got to work with her favorite host, and they got rid of the executive producer because she thought it was her show. So I would say there's no host in late night that exists that would accept the early days of The Daily Show for an extended period of time. They didn't know it was supposed to be the host show.
Mm-hmm.
But the executive producer was there first in her defense, and she didn't want some host taking over the show. So I just scored on the air, and I wanted to do a traditional late night show because I was a Johnny Carson fan, and I wanted to do an hour. I'm not going to go 4-minute interview with Clint Eastwood.
Right,
I actually went an hour with him. I just didn't have a second guess. We could have rolled in a musical act if we had to, but I kept saying, stick around, Clint, we'll be right back. So I went the whole hour with him because he hadn't even done Letterman yet when he did the my show. Yeah.
That's really cool. I also like that you had done The Daily Show only once after you left, and that was on Jon Stewart's last episode, I think you went on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They invited me to do that, and
And then you also did Tom Snyder's show, his last one, when you were coming on as the Late Late host. You did that, his show.
I don't think it was the last. It was his last week. And we went out to dinner, and it was a transition. And so I did that show. And then we did the show for 5 years. We had 7 writers as opposed to 18 for Conan and 12 for Jimmy Kimmel, and we had no band.
Oh, really? And that's yet, right. That's interesting. Yet, that's true.
And yet we still put up a good fight, didn't we?
Do you want to have any desire to go on the Late Late Show when James does his last one, or you couldn't give a shit?
I don't use the term what you just, I don't care. I could give a flying rip, I think, is the term I
Okay, that's nice. You classed it up. Like we've already established, you've classed it up. And then I was reading an interview in 2015 where you interviewed yourself, and you said that you're going to put out a book one day called Classic Man, Living Above the Fray. But to my knowledge, 7 years later, 8 years later, technically, it's never come out. Am I right?
Yeah, because I don't want to rehash it. I have an obligation to write a book. And do you know who Julius Sharp is, Goldie? Do you know who he is or not?
I know, only know because of, I think they do a show with Alec on, Goldie does it, the show with Alec. So when I interviewed Alec Sulkin, yeah, the podcast, yeah.
A typical disgusting display. So Goldie's a friend of mine, and he and Alec are tight. And I had Goldie on my podcast, and he wrote a book, and he was telling me, you know, how to do it. And he said, hey, Greg, before you write it, call me. I got 10. You've told me 10 stories that have to be in the book, because I'll tell stories, anecdotes. And so I'll definitely write it. But when you say I haven't done it in 7 years, add about 15, because I don't think I'll write it. I don't have a desire to rehash right now.
It seems like right now, and I mean, I could be wrong, but you're just enjoying your fucking life. Like, it doesn't seem like you want to do anything that you don't want to do. Like, if you don't want to do it, you're not doing it. End of story. Or am I wrong with that?
You're 100% right. Mm-hmm. Am I allowed to point? Or I'm pointing up.
It's a little aggressive. I'm going to be honest if you're threatened, but okay.
I like what you just said. No, I was kidding. What was I going to say? I was going to try to call back one of her movies that was ridiculous. I was going to say. I'm still thrown off by The Walking Tall, The Rock.
The Rock. Well, you understand. If you knew that she would murder me tomorrow if she could kiss The Rock on his cheek.
By the way, I had him on the show a lot when he was starting out. Mm-hmm. And on my Instagram, I have a couple 5 questions with him. The nicest guy. I mean, he's this behemoth of a man, and he is a sweet man, though. He's a really nice guy.
Well, now you're making Shannon even more horny, for God's sakes. God damn it. I'll tell you some other things I've learned about you in my deep dive into the world of Craig Kilborn.
Yes.
Apparently, you can ice skate backwards, but you can't roller skate backwards. That seems weird. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that sounds right. Because I had to play hockey growing up in Minnesota, and it was a big deal to skate backwards. And you cross over your feet, because I could go in a circle then backwards. You cross over your feet. But the blades are different than the big wheels on the roller skates. So the roller skates, I couldn't do that.
Can you roller skate, Shannon, by the way? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm very curious.
I don't think I can roller skate. I can rollerblade.
Okay, well, probably the same thing.
You ever fall down when you rollerblade?
Maybe like as a kid. I actually just went with my nieces and my nephew about a month ago to like a roller skating rink. And I was terrified to try regular roller skates. But no, I can hold myself up on rollerblades.
Let me ask you this, Craig, because we're both the same height, right? And I probably weigh more than you because I'm kind of a big dude. But I have a fear, a real legit fear of falling when I run, when I do anything, because that is a fucking distance to travel to go down.
100% right. When we fall, tall people, it's a big deal. We go down. And I'm graceful. I'm graceful. And I mean, it's not easy. And it is a thing where when you get older, that's how people get hurt a lot. They fall in the shower. There was this guy, this is what I heard. This is sports. Don't freak out. But there was this guy named Chick Hearn, and he was the voice of the Lakers, and he was a legend. But he passed away, and one of the things, he was out there with Marge, his wife, in the back, in the garden, the patio, sitting down, and he goes, the gardener forgot to move that pot back. And she goes, don't you do it, he'll do it. And then she goes inside, and he tries to move it and falls and hits his head.
My second cousin, his name is Art Matrano. He was a famous actor from the old days. He was in all the Police Academy movies. He went to go try and paint something, and he fell off the ladder, and then he got paralyzed and passed away a few years later.
Yeah,
it's kind of what an uplifting moment right now. Okay, but
let's keep talking about people who have fallen and passed and away.
That's how about this segment. One? Is this true? Not only do you currently live in a home built in 1923, but you used to live in Dennis Hopper's house.
Wow. Let's just be honest. You do a lot of research, and you're kind of showing off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks for noticing. Thank you. Exactly. You know why though, Craig? Why? I care. You're taking the time out to come on my show. I will put the time in to learn that you are the son of a school teacher and you were born in Kansas.
Kansas City. I had to get a passport. I was out of college living in San Francisco, my brother and his roommate. And I got this opportunity to go play ball in Europe with this traveling American team. And I needed a passport. And they needed my birth certificate. And my parents at the time were on vacation, actually in Ireland. So I couldn't call them. So I called up and my buddy was trying to help me. My brother's roommate. So we called up Kansas City and the hospital in Kansas City. And I said, Craig Kilborn, blah, 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 gave him all the stuff. He goes, we have no record of you here. I said, come on. My parents. He goes, maybe you were adopted. I said, I look exactly like my dad. He goes, doesn't mean anything. He said, it doesn't mean anything. And then I figured out that I wasn't born in Kansas City, Kansas. I was born in Kansas City, Missouri, but I didn't know that. Because we lived in Kansas City, Kansas, but I was born in Kansas City, Missouri. I got the birth certificate. It all worked out. But I'll never forget the guy on the line saying, "It doesn't matter if you look like your dad. Really, you could still be adopted." And I'm like, "Oh my god, what if I was adopted?"
That's really funny. I also like the story that you didn't know that like winters could be warm until you went to California to visit your brother. And you're like, "Wait a minute, there's other weather."
Oh, when you're 8 years old, building a snowman. In Hastings, Minnesota, you don't know that you're in the coldest place in the world. I played basketball at Montana State where there's a lot of skiing. Mm-hmm. And we had a game against University of Minnesota. And the guys on the team from Montana were like, it is cold here. But in Montana, they say there are these things called the Chinook winds. It comes off of the Pacific Ocean over mm-hmm. Washington and Idaho. And it keeps it kind of warm. So, yeah, Minnesota was the coldest place. And I rarely go back. I'm proud to be from there, but I love California.
I get it. By the way, I was also listening to a recent episode of your podcast. And again, we've established I know nothing about sports, right?
Right.
And I was like, holy shit, he has John Krasinski on. But no, it's not John Krasinski. It's John Krasinski or something very close to that. That's a sports writer.
It's actually pronounced the same way. And he gets that a lot. He gets it a lot. The actor,
Kind of funny. And then, I was going to say that you're doing this podcast. Do you know when you're going to actually bring it back or right now you're just in a holding pattern?
I'm just saying 2 weeks. It'll be 2 weeks probably. Yeah.
Okay. And then what I didn't know this because again, last thing, it was not a showing off thing. It's something I wasn't aware of that the Daily Show was created because Politically Incorrect was moving to NBC. And that's how that whole thing happened. Is that right?
Yeah, then it was moving to ABC.
ABC, sorry.
And in the 90s, that was the thing. You wanted to go. There was more of a separation between cable and network.
Mm-hmm.
So Politically Incorrect was going to ABC. And then the network president at Comedy Central came up with the idea, the concept of a news parody. He said it was Sports Center for more than sports because he thought Sports Center was funny because everyone thought it was funny. And it's not an original format. We had not necessarily the news back on HBO and you had the Weekend Update and plenty more prior to that. But and then that replaced Politically Incorrect.
And then lastly, before we do the first, is it true that your brother sings your intro on the podcast?
How would you know that? It's true.
He does his research, Craig. He does his research.
I've been a guest on other podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And they've researched, but no one has shown off as much as you.
That's fine. I appreciate it. It makes me feel good, but
I can't believe you cook French food, though. What's your go-to? What is your go-to?
No, I mean, instead of me, again, I feel like I've been bragging the whole time, right? Why don't you ask Shannon if I've ever cooked good food for her instead of me continuing to show off?
Shannon?
Yes. Yes, he has. Not French food, though.
She's
but
vegan.
Yeah. But yes, he has. He's cooked me a bunch of different things, and every single thing was very good. Nothing good.
Maybe a little pesto.
Pesto is pedestrian. Come on
pesto
now. Are you kidding
quinoa?
Me? Any jerk off can make pesto. Come on now.
God, I like pesto.
I do love pesto. I do. Yeah. But I think it's not. That's like, you know, I really like to show off. If you ever get over your fear of flying and come to New York, I'll cook you whatever the fuck you want.
How would you prepare? What would you do with the salmon? I like having my salmon. What would you do?
So I like a crispy skin on salmon. That's number one, right?
Right.
I'm also a big fan of simple with salmon. I love high quality. You get a king salmon, you crisp up that skin, and you barely cook the other side. Lemon and olive oil over, like maybe some chicory. Yeah. I'm in heaven. I don't need anything. The less, wow, the better with salmon.
Wow.
For me.
Yeah.
For me.
I love salmon. That's
good. Or a mustard sauce, maybe with a little dill. I love that too.
Mustard sauce. I love it. I had that at a French restaurant. They had mustard sauce on a pork chop, but they put something in it. I think it was mustard and balsamic. It was pretty special. I do like my pork chops. I don't eat a lot of red meat, but I like it. And something just happened. In fact, it's happening. My significant other, she says to me the other day.
You mean the girl that you call your wife sometime, but you've been together for 20 years? Continue.
She says, I want steak. So I got a ribeye. I made it at home. I made homemade mashed potatoes and broccoli. And I posted it on my Instagram story, not the post, the story that goes away after a day. And guess what's happening? Omaha Steaks saw that, and they're sending me a care package that arrives next week of Omaha Steaks.
Let me tell you what to do, sir.
Okay.
Do yourself a favor here. Get a fucking sous vide. They're cheap now. Sous vide that steak to temp, and then sear it, and you'll thank me later. That's all I'm going to say.
It's too much work.
It is work. Do you care about your woman of 20 years or you don't?
I'll tell you the problem with the steak. I did something where I cooked it in the oven once and it was perfect, but the oven got too dirty and I'm not going to do that again.
Right.
So I just cook it stovetop.
And if you really want to be crazy, which I've done a couple times, which I don't recommend because it takes a lot of time, I have bought these dry age bags and you could vacuum seal and dry age your meat in the fridge for up to like 45 days, cut away the bad part. And then it was unbelievable, but it's too much work.
Yeah. I don't work that hard. I coast. I've been coasting my whole life.
Yeah. Hey, look, we're learning right now. You don't want to do anything you don't want to do. So that's totally fine. I get it. I get it totally. All right. Shannon, we're going to do the first right now with Mr. Craig Kilborn.
The first time ever I saw concert Detroit.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We have asked every guest this since the dawn of time, their first experience with all three. But we start with rock and roll. And you asked this question on your show as well, the first concert you ever went to. But I always say, on your own volition, not one you were dragged to when you were six, and ideally not some local band we'd never heard of, but whatever comes out in your head.
The one I always say is fifth grade, the Jacksons. They were the Jackson 5, and then Randy joined them, and they were the Jacksons for a brief period. I saw a strobe light. My dad got tickets. We saw them dance to a strobe light. It was very exciting. That was the first concert. If you want a different answer, I don't want to criticize anyone. I'm going to be soft here. Not particularly a fan of this artist. But I was at Bozeman, Montana, Montana State, on a full ride scholarship, and they had a concert.
Who's bragging now? Jesus Christ! Okay.
They had a concert there, and this artist I could care less about, but I'll never forget how would you describe it? The fascination with fame, or oh wow, this guy is in Bozeman, and it was at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse. It's where we played basketball. It's the arena. And the band was there, and then he poked his head out behind a speaker, and the place exploded. Huey Lewis and the News.
I like him, and I also love that story about Ghostbusters, which a lot of people don't know that was written to be a total ripoff of the Huey Lewis song, and he actually played them together, and they go back, and they just told Ray Parker Jr. the Huey Lewis song. All right, now the first drug you ever did. I always say after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
I've only tried weed twice. That was at the Daily Show to try to fit in. It didn't go well because I was having a vodka and a cigar. And once you get cigar juice down there, you get nauseous. So I don't do drugs, man. I just drink alcohol. I'm not a druggie.
Fair enough. So that's the only drug you've ever done is you tried weed twice.
Yep.
right.
Very
like
much
answer.
Of a square that way. I'll That's tell you fine. Where I'm a square. I'm a square when it comes to pot. I think, you know, like I use the term potheads for people who smoke pot.
By the way, evident that you're square by calling them potheads. Continue.
Exactly. No, exactly. And I don't like the F-bomb, which is weird. I don't like everyone who uses it. And I don't use it, you know. Now, there are other things I like that will contradict that, but that's okay. We don't have to go into that.
We all need to have our own set of morals that make sense to us. That's all right. It is. You know, right. Like I used to be a DJ in a strip club, and it always amazed me how the bartenders at the strip club would make fun of the dancers. Like, how dare they dance? I'm just bartending. But, you know, we're in the same environment. Like, it exactly. always made me. And my crash joke always was, and I apologize, you know, you're a classy dude. Was for every bartender that makes fun of a stripper, there's a hooker who makes fun of a girl that will do anal. You know, it's like they're just finding their own sense of morality that makes sense to them. It doesn't necessarily mean it's right or wrong. That makes sense?
Shannon didn't laugh at that.
She's heard it before. That's why.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, because also she was the hooker that wouldn't do anal. Come on now, Shannon, high five it.
I couldn't be further from a hooker.
Yeah, Shannon hasn't had sex in 5 years. We've talked about that extensively on the show. And now lastly, the first time you did have sex.
This is where I'm private, but I will, you're pulling something out of me. I will tell you when it happened, the age at when it happened.
Right. I don't need
That's
pictures.
All I'm saying. I'm not telling you the person's name or
no, I don't need that.
We had a playmate on in 1999 on my first CBS show. No, I'm just kidding. late bloomer, freshman year in college.
So that's, I want to say 18, yeah. roughly.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. And then my only question is going to be, was it someone you were really romantic with, or was it just like something that happened?
We dated for a little while.
Okay. That's fair enough. I'm not going to pry any further, sir. So yeah. You can follow Mr. Craig Kilborn at Mr. Craig Kilborn on the Instagrams, his podcast, The Life Gorgeous, to be determined as to when it will be coming out, but it should be coming out soon. There's a bunch of episodes on there right now that you can listen to. That's available as well. Is there anything else you want to plug before we go around the room and do our plugs?
No, it's just a joy to meet a guy who doesn't like sports, but knows how to cook French cuisine.
All right, fair enough. And Shannon, your plugs.
You can follow me. Sorry, Alexa's talking right at this moment. You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting guests come on, comedians, musicians, reality TV stars, and porn stars, and they tell their own personal stories about their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
Now, Craig, do not indicate this. The question is going to be, and don't say a word till we both chime in, does Mr. Craig Kilborn believe in ghosts? I'm going to say 100% no. That's my gut. 100% no. Shannon?
Yes.
Craig?
No, I do not believe in ghosts.
Okay. I feel like a butt is coming.
No, I don't think there's any butts coming. I will tell you this, though. I guess also, if you put the list of types of shows on a board and put them in order of the things he most likely would watch to most likely would never watch, I'm putting reality shows on the bottom of the list. Am I right with that, Craig?
Correct. I did not. There was a time years ago, maybe 10 years ago, for some reason, I would watch, what's it called? Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
just to see. Because listen, I go through stages. For some reason, 12 years ago, I was so into barbecue, and I would go get barbecue, and I love it. I love barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really like sugar. It has molasses in it. So I'm not into barbecue like I used to be, but it's still special. I eat a lot of Mexican food. When I was a kid growing up, I told someone this the other day, for our birthdays, my mom would make whatever we wanted. My brother wanted lasagna. I wanted enchiladas. I liked enchilada sauce.
Okay.
And someone said, did they have Mexican food, Mexican restaurants out there in Hastings? I said, no, but they had a Swanson TV dinner with refried beans and enchiladas. And that's my introduction of enchiladas.
Are you still a big Mexican fan now?
Yeah, I try to. Yeah, yes. I mean, last week I had it three times. I went out to the desert. There's a couple places out there. Too many tortilla chips, the enchiladas, the huevos rancheros. I love it.
My problem is New York does not have great Mexican.
That
and I'm starting...
is correct. I lived there 3 years. I was stunned. I was stunned. You know what else shocked me? When I lived in California before I went to New York, I've donated a lot of carbs, but back then I would have bagels, and they up in San Francisco, the greatest thing, you'd get like a garlic bagel or an everything mm-hmm. bagel, and they toasted it and they put on the cream cheese. Mm-hmm. I go to New York, they don't toast the bagels. I was shocked.
I will say that's the bagel places that don't, or the reason why they don't, is if they're baking on premise, there's something to be said about not toasting one that just came out of the oven. If right. it's been sitting around for a while, then yeah, you should toast it. But there's a couple of great bagel places right by my house. I don't think there's any bagel places that could rival New York because of the New York water.
That's what they said when I better. Was there. Toast it. I want it toasted.
Fair enough. I'll add, okay, follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness is called The Good Sugar Podcast. Our first location is opening in 2 weeks, maybe before Craig starts his podcast again. I don't know. And it's on the corner of 3rd Avenue and 69th Street. I'll be there often. Come on down. We'll probably do the podcast there every once in a while. And it's also vegan food, even though I'm not vegan, but Shannon will come by and have some free food. I know that's going to happen. Craig, we add a song of the week every week to the playlist, thesdrshow.com/playlist. Do you have a favorite song? Do you want to throw on a Jackson song? Do you have one to throw on a Huey Lewis in the News song? Or just something that speaks to you, some old big band song? We'll add it to the playlist.
Which one would you want to, you want a song? I'll give you three. You can choose one. Tenderly is an old song that I like. It's The Evening Breeze Caress the Trees Tenderly. It's an old jazz standard. I like from New Jersey. I like Shaken by Eddie Money. That's kind of a fun one.
That's a fun one.
And Putting Out Fire with Gasoline, a theme from Cat People, David Bowie. Choose whatever one you want.
Okay, look at Shannon's cute cat. That's adorable. By the way, and the thing about the Eddie Money song is that didn't get blocked out of, because they got grandfathered in. The song says tits are shaking. It says her tits are shaking in that song. Oh. And they wouldn't bleep it because it was grandfathered in before the laws changed. Kind of funny. Just like
I didn't know that's what they're saying.
Yeah, her tits are shaking. It only says it once, but he does say it in the song. Yeah. As a former rock radio guy, I do remember.
Are you just hearing it that way, or did they actually say it?
I'm pretty sure he says it. Yeah. They know the when we had Peter Frampton on, he clearly says fuck in that song, and they didn't edit that out.
Right.
And same thing with the Who song. They didn't edit that out.
You do know historically people have heard what they wanted to with lyrics.
Right.
And when I was at ESPN, my old buddy Keith Olbermann, we had a disagreement over the 10cc song.
I'm not in love.
Yeah. And be quiet, big boys don't cry is what they say. And he said, requesting silence. And he said, no, that's what it was. And he bet me, and he lost the bet, and he had to get me the CD.
See, Shannon, am I right? Did you look it up?
Yes, you are right.
You're welcome.
Oh.
Again, me bragging about always being correct. That's all that really matters. I will see everyone next time on the SDR show.
been listening to the SDR Show.